The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fiber for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefiber.com.
Okay then, it's a Tuesday. We have Prickles in, and we also have Curly Sue in as well. Just pull yourself a little bit closer to that microphone, Curly Sue. We're going to be talking basically about this is the news that this has been happening for the last couple of years. All these cutbacks, okay, and the cutbacks have been made kind of public. Exactly how much? How many cutbacks? I think it's something like, is it 17.38 million?
This year, that's what they need to save this year.
17.38 million
pounds.
That's a
lot of money.
On top of all the other cutbacks as well. You know, what's your take on it? Are you, like, in a better position to find out, to know what money is spent on, purely and simply because you're a town councillor?
No, not really, but there's obviously a bit more of an insight where I am. A councillor, and a lot of services are being what's called devolved down to town and parish councils,
right?
Which means town and parish councils can take on the roles of running public toilets if they've got toilets in their town or their village,
okay.
Of car parks if they've got them in their town and village, of grounds maintenance for their parks and gardens, of paying for their own plants. All these things that the council used to pay for, that we've got used to the Isle of Wight Council paying for, and they just can't afford to do it anymore.
Is it a case of now, it's okay, anything that is, okay, you want some grass, sorry, people need to eat, people need to have a roof over their head, people need to be looked after, you need some nice Christmas lights, sorry, can't afford it, yeah, we're spending our money elsewhere. Is it? Are they cutting those kind of things?
I think most town and parish councils are actually in the throes of thinking about the budget for the coming year, which is 2016 to 2017, and I would imagine most are going to raise the precept, which means that they will have a bigger income that the town and parish councils receive to enable them to take on some of these services that the council can no longer afford.
Okay.
I don't think it's as dire as, no, we can't have a wreath for Remembrance Sunday, or we can't have a Christmas tree next Christmas. I don't think it's like that at the moment for the town and the parish councils, but I think a lot of the town and the parish councils are, where are we supposed to get the money from to take on the services that you can't run?
Okay, so it's not as simple as I put it to the wife yesterday whilst we were having our tea. You know, there's the salt, there's the pepper, cutbacks, choose one, because we can only afford to have one. Is it not like that yet?
I think for the Isle of Wight Council it probably is like that, but I think for the town and the parish councils, Newport is a huge parish council. They can probably more or less run that as a business, because there are so many people in Newport that's where their money comes from the precept. When you pay your council tax, a certain amount will go to your local town and parish council to be able to spend on services for your town or your parish.
Right.
I, on the other hand, I am an Arrowton parish councillor, and obviously the population of there is an awful lot smaller than Newport, so there are large town and parish councils and small ones, obviously with varying degrees of income, of their precept and of what facilities they have and how much they can spend.
Okay, so I mean, you said you came up with an idea of you know, what you would do to save money. We're saying, you know, is this tongue in cheek? A little bit, maybe. What can we do to save £17 million worth of you know, savings? Got any ideas?
I think there's a lot to be said for the normal chap on the street. May he just have a few ideas that may help, you know. And it's all very well as, you know, people are sort of, oh, my grass isn't getting cut outside my house. Well, if it's not a priority, absolutely cut it yourself. And we are so used to expecting things, that's no longer going to happen. My idea was, a few years ago we had an awful lot of our middle schools that were shut, and a lot of those sites have been sold off for a profit to make the Isle of Wight Council some money, and they've been sold on to housing associations. They've been sold on to builders to make houses and housing estates. Why don't the Isle of Wight Council, with any sites they still have left, they're going to have to speculate to accumulate, build Isle of Wight Council owned properties? That would do two things. That would firstly help with our housing needs that we've got. We've got a shortage of 1 and 2 bedroom flats and apartments and things that people need with assisted living. It would also generate a guaranteed income for the Isle of Wight Council, but they would still own the property and they would still own the valuable land that it's all sat on. That's my little suggestion.
Do you know what? That, I mean, you're nodding over there, aren't you?
Yep.
Not just like acting out like one of those nodding dogs in the back of a car. You're actually agreeing. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's a really good idea because obviously people aren't going to be able to live in 8 bedroom houses all the time. No one can really justify that. And there aren't really enough flats for people that are possibly younger that have just moved here that aren't looking to buy a massive house that they can live in for the time being.
Okay, so it's a great idea on the surface. Okay, so basically you're building council houses.
You are building Isle of Wight council owned houses, yes.
Which is, let's be honest, when Maggie sold them off in the 1980s, they didn't replace. So it would therefore, when you look at things, that may have been the problem all along. We've sold all our council houses and we've not replaced them, but we do have an amount of social housing. What's the difference between council houses and social housing then?
Social housing is like housing associations that will... There's some part own. You can part own your house. You can just pay rent. But a lot of our housing estates and new properties that are being built are actually owned by housing associations.
Right.
Because it's the housing associations that have got the money to build the houses.
Okay.
But like I say, the Isle of Wight Council has quite a bit of land that, and because there's already been a school or something there, it's already classed as, you know, it's been lived in or it's been built on before. So hopefully planning wouldn't be too much of an issue like it is on the Isle of Wight on our Greenfield sites.
Okay. I tell you, I think it's a really, really good idea. What have you done about it?
I have mentioned to a couple of people in the council previously, and obviously we've got to this stage, but I'm not sure that... I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to say it without causing offence. I'm not sure that there are enough people actually sitting up and taking notice.
But do you find... I think I know what you're trying to say. You've got 40 councillors. How many of them really care about things? Okay, they cared enough to get themselves voted. And they probably go to some meetings. And you do get some passionate councillors that are forever doing stuff. And I'm going to go across the board here, because I don't want people to point the finger at me and saying, yeah, but you're always a bit of a lefty, you. Not really. I don't see colours. I'm colourblind.
Mm.
I look at it and I think, right, okay, Julie Jones-Evans is one of those ladies that is incredibly busy within
the town.
She
is, all the time, yeah.
She looks after her flock.
She
okay?
does.
She's a conservative. She looks after her flock, though, and that's a good thing. Okay, you've got Ian Ward, another guy who is a decent chap. He's doing wonderful work in Sandown. He's a decent bloke.
He's doing decent community-minded work.
You've got a number of others. I know that Phil Jordan works incredibly hard. I know that Jonathan Bacon works incredibly hard. And I know that Ian Stevens works incredibly hard. We should even it up now. There's only 2 Labour councillors. I don't know them too much. I don't know them too well. But I do know that Jeff Lumley is a busy guy.
Jeff Lumley's...
Okay, and their hearts are in the right place.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that in mind, you haven't got enough people standing up and taking notice. Is it because there's too many of them and there's too many squabbles here, there and everywhere that things don't get done?
I've got absolutely no idea. I just think, you know, 3 years ago, we voted in something other than a Conservative council.
Yeah.
And I just think the amount of money beforehand that there was on the island has just kind of dwindled away to nothing. And I think all of the councillors that stood Nobody stands thinking they're going to get an easy ride at all. Mm. A lot of councillors stand because they want to make a difference, because they value their community, because they value the people in their community, and they want to make a difference.
Let me put it another way, because what I don't want to do is offend 40 councillors or 35 of them because X amount are doing X amount of stuff. I think if you went into a normal basic kitchen and you said to 40 people, cook me a meal, somebody would take control of it and cook you a beautiful meal. Yeah?
Yeah.
They may get a little bit of help from one or two people being a sous chef or chopping the veg up or whatever. If you've got 40 people doing it, some people will be, well, they're going to do that, so I'm going to back off and I'm going to just chip in with my little bit now and again. Or you're chopping up that too small and so on and so forth. All of a sudden, what is that old saying?
Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Spoil the broth. See, that's what happens. And I just think maybe that's what we got. Maybe, you know, we got 40 councillors. We're only a small island. Maybe if we had 20 councillors...
See, but you can't
save
do
the
that.
Money. Why
you
not?
You can't do that because government legislation is that each town and parish needs a certain amount of councillors to stand to be on the council.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's not, oh, let's do away with them and do away with their wages. Their wages are absolutely minimal for what they do.
I'm not, look, let's chuck away the rule book for a minute, okay? You've got, and this is how hypocritical it is, you've got a government that says you're only getting X amount, but by the way, you've got to have 40 councillors. Well, hang on a minute, if we want to save ourselves a few quid, we can only have 20 councillors. We can still pay them the same. Maybe we can pay them a slightly more. No, let's pay them the same. Let's keep it legit. Let's pay them exactly the same as what they're getting now, but we're going to halve the amount of councillors that we've got. We're going to make a saving there. And hopefully that saving will mean that you'll get more done. Because if you add the kitchen theory, if you're in a kitchen with X amount of people, only X amount of people are going to get stuff done, other people just get in the way. No disrespect to those councillors, but that's what's happening. And the daft thing is that the government are saying, you've got to make some cutbacks, ain't you? And they're also saying, well, you can't, because you've got to have 20, you've got to have 40, you can't cut them down. Cause so why don't they just chuck the rule book out and say, look, how many do you need? How many can you afford? That's what it should be, affordability. We can only afford 15. Well, let's have 15 then. One for each major town, and obviously they have to chip in with a little bit of help here and there. I bet you they get more work done if they apply the old cooking theory, the kitchen theory. Because the one thing, the one complaint that I've heard about the last 3 years is that no decisions are being made because they're arguing with each other too much.
And I think that's the crux of it. I think there are so many different personalities, there are so many different colours, and I've been to council meetings, and you sit in a council meeting, and I'm not joking, sometimes, I don't know, it's like the clown show.
Okay.
It really is. They're more interested in having a go at each other and shouting at each other and personal insults at each other, and you think, actually, you're meant to be running our island. Come on, get on with it.
Isn't that what would happen?
Absolutely.
Just if you were in a kitchen now full of people, just say, for instance, you're at home now. You got a sister?
No.
How you got a brother?
Yeah.
How old's your brother?
18.
Okay, your brother's 18. Your mum does. Who does most of the cooking?
Probably split between me and my mum.
You do the cooking as well?
Yeah, sometimes.
So what do you say to your brother when he gets in the way?
You just kick him out, yeah.
Because he's in the way and he ain't helping, is he?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of theory that we've got. That's the kind of thing that we've got here now. You've got people that are arguing with each other. They're not helping. Just kick them out or just go away.
But the thing is, you look on the TV and you watch the Houses of Parliament. They're no different.
Oh, absolutely.
They're no different.
It's
they
even
all
worse.
Sit there shouting and, you know, and all these noises. And you think, actually, you're running our country. Get on with it.
I couldn't agree more with that. How do you feel? I mean, as a 16-year-old, I just... You know, we asked this question yesterday, just a slightly different tack here. And I love to get young people's opinions because, I come from that era where people used to say little kids should be seen and not heard. That's not true anymore, and it shouldn't be, and it isn't. We have to listen to people like yourself, and we should listen a hell of a lot more than we do, because this affects you. I said to you yesterday about the EU. Mm. In probably a year or two's time, we're going to vote whether or not we stay in or out of the EU. And I say to you, shouldn't you be able to vote on this, because this affects you more than a lot of people? And, you know, I don't know what your opinion is on that, Ali. I mean, you know, what we're effectively saying is you've got to give 16-year-olds the vote. I don't have a problem with that at all.
No, nor do I, because at 16 they can go out and get married.
It's see the thing is, it affects you. And,
yeah,
you know, I look at that and I think, well, why shouldn't you have a vote on that then? Why shouldn't you have a vote on that? Are you switched on with, you know, what we're talking, the EU
yeah.
situation? I mean, I find it really, really fascinating. We don't listen to youngsters enough. What's your thoughts on, you know, the current economic climate that we live in?
Well, it's not really the best, is it?
See,
it's not really the best.
And I don't want to patronise you, but I feel that maybe people of our age ought to apologise for the mess that they've left for you, for when you leave school and try and get a job, further educate yourself, and so on.
Because our children are yeah. going to pay for that.
They are.
They are ultimately going to pay the price for that. In 5-6 years, when this young lady's been to uni, whatever she's done, and out in the real world working, she's going to pay for the mistakes that are being made now.
The sad thing is you brought up a very valid point. You've got a big house full of people, 650-odd MPs, that are in a room mumbling, and all that kind of stuff, and these people are making the decisions for your future. Sadly,
yeah.
they're making the... How do you feel about that?
Well, they're making the decisions for our future, but we can't vote. We can't vote to say who makes the decisions for our future. We don't get the opinion to see who decides what we get to do in the future.
Okay, which you know, if you make that slightly smaller, bring it just down to the Isle of Wight, you've still got a similar problem. You've got 40 people that are making decisions, and I'm not going to have a go at any of them. They've all stood up to be elected, and I would imagine there's a number of people that are a pain in the backside for a good reason. I would imagine there's a pain in the backside there for, you know, for other reasons. And the unfortunate thing is that things don't get done. Things don't get done the way they should. And I'm not blaming any of those for the situation that we find ourselves in now. A £17.38 million shortfall is not their fault. And I don't think we should harp on about the previous council either. That's my honest opinion. Let's look forward. How do we make savings? Well, it's a case of you can't. It's impossible to make savings. And I'll tell you for why. There was a breakdown from Vix Lowthian. Now, Vix Lowthian, as you probably know, I don't know whether you know Vix Lowthian, she was one of those guys that, or ladies that stood for the being an MP last year. Mm-hmm. And she's put some figures. Did you see this? Did you see these figures here?
No.
Okay, it's the Isle of Wight Council budget 2016 to 2017. And it just gives you a breakdown, and it's very, very simple. Statutory costs, £111 million, okay? That's on schools, roads, social care and waste. And basically, I think what it says here is that non-statutory net is £12.6 billion, housing, sports, toilets, heritage, libraries, government cuts to budget £17.39 million. And underneath, it just explains, even if all the non-statutory services were slashed, the Isle of Wight Council would still fail to balance the books. Not their fault, okay? They have to do these things, not their fault. It's the fault of a government person is saying you're only getting X, but it ain't enough to cover it. So whatever they do, they're doomed. In the words of that guy that from Dad's Army, we're doomed.
But it isn't just the Isle of Wight Council. There are councils all over the country.
Absolutely.
Facing exactly the same.
Exactly the same thing, exactly the same problem, which is a bit of a concern and a bit of a worry. I don't know what the answer is, but here we are. We're asking for, you know, basically we need to make savings of £17.39 million, not £17.38 million now. And even if we do, we still can't balance the books. So what's the point? Well, there is a point at the end of it, I guess, and we'll come up with ways of how to streamline our council. I mean, personally, do you know what I would do? It's totally wrong. People will be outraged by it. Close it. Close
and
it
then
down.
What?
You come in and run it. Hey,
and then
look,
what?
We can't run it because you haven't given us enough money.
And then what?
I'm hoping that they would say, well, don't go. We'll give you a bit more money.
See, I think that would be a dreadful option.
Well, what's the other option?
I've got no idea.
You said building council houses. I kind of like that idea, but as you know, they don't have the money to do it.
They so you take out a loan to do it.
What? Who from? The government, who don't really want to listen. Look, the fact is, and this is how sad it is, and this is what infuriates me, and I feel sorry for people that are 16 your age, because we have totally, these people have messed up your future. Yep. They really have. They've messed up your future. Now, if you do your sums, they don't add up, but they don't care. Okay.
See, but do you really think that?
Well, that's the way it is at the moment.
See, when I left school exactly the same time as you did, 1981, and Margaret Thatcher was Prime Minister. And it's just like history repeating itself all over again. I left school, there were no jobs, Ian. There was no prospects. There was nothing for me at 16. I worked 40 hours a week for £19. Just so I didn't become one of Margaret Thatcher's unemployment statistics.
You only got £19?
Yeah.
I got £23.50.
No, you didn't. You're lying.
I did. YTS.
You got the same as I. Yeah.
YTS.
Youth training schemes.
Yeah. £23.50.
And here we are. Here we are, Ian, 30 years later, and nothing's any different.
Mm.
It's dreadful. Absolutely dreadful for our kids.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you know,
and then we had the boom and bust, didn't we? We had buy a house, you know, take out a mortgage for 180 times more than you earn, and all those people lost their houses. You know, where has all that money gone?
Okay.
That money's still in circulation somewhere, isn't it?
People have mentioned this. I'll just go through a few names here. A lady called Jean. I think I've spoken to Jean a few times. She just says, councils unite. I think there is something like 23 to 25 councils that are in the same position as we are. That's an awful lot of councils. That's an awful lot of people that are affected by it. Vix Lowthian has gone on to say that apparently the national administrators step in to run the council. That's exactly what happens when the money runs out. So, that's the answer.
But don't you think that that's what they're hoping for?
Well, do you know what? There is an element of, and I don't know how you feel about this, but there is an element of, well, would it then be political? Because how many times have you heard people say, why is the council
independent, a
political tool? It's not independent. Well, it is independent, but it's not. Why is it a political thing? Why have we got people that are arguing across the House over politics? The council shouldn't be political.
No, it shouldn't. The local council anywhere in the country should not be political.
And maybe if it wasn't, by, you know, maybe we would have less issues. Apparently national administrators step in to run the council. Now there's no saying that they won't be Conservatives or Lib Dems or whatever. Generally it's the government that are running the country at the moment, so the possibilities are they're going to be Conservative. So in that aspect we're shooting ourselves in the foot, because we're going to be run by the Tories, if you like,
and we voted the Tories out.
On the off chance that the national administrators are just people that come in and run councils, they would quickly come in and realise that, hey, we haven't got enough. We haven't got enough to run these services which we're supposed to do, and you've got one arm up our back for us to do, so we're going to need some more money. If that's the case, they should be able to see that now and say, hey, look, you're doing a great job. Here's the money that you need to run your council.
But they should have seen that 2 years ago, when everyone was up in arms because the beaches weren't going to get clean to the standard that they used to.
Okay.
Statutory services means...
So what, sorry?
I can't even say it again. Statutory services means things they have to do. They have to pay. And they have to pay for the beaches to be cleaned, but only to a certain standard. Because we're a holiday island, they were cleaning above that standard. All of a sudden, it became public knowledge that we're only going to clean that beach once every 2 weeks instead of three times a week like we have been doing. There was outrage, wasn't there, 2 years ago?
Which would you rather have?
There was problems there that long ago, and I think the population of the Isle of Wight are just actually waking up and thinking, oh my goodness, it is bad. It's been bad for years.
I don't think they're waking up. I just think they've been in submission. They've submitted. They say I give up. I think that's the majority of Ireland people. Whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. I give up. Well, you know, yeah, okay. If that's what you want to do, then fine. We'll never make anything better. But I think maybe we should find ourselves, find a voice, and do something. But I think it's really, really sad. But then you have to live in reality. The reality of it is some people will say, well, hang on a minute, cleaning the beaches. Why don't you just clean up behind yourself? That you don't have to leave your rubbish everywhere. If you were to not be such a drain on the service, you know, we wouldn't have to spend so much money cleaning the beach. Pick up after your dog, pick your litter up and put it in the bin. End of. Okay.
But there will always be those people that don't actually do that, Ian, and spoil it for the people that do.
Which is sad.
That's life, isn't it? That's what happens.
Yeah, but I just think there is an element of, come on, we've got to take some kind of responsibility on ourselves. When it comes down to, you know, when the push comes to shove and you say, right, you've got a beach to clean, or you've got a home full of elderly people to heat, or a home full of youngsters that haven't got a home to heat, what do you choose?
Obviously, the people, don't you?
I'm hoping. And is that what it comes down to? These choices are?
Absolutely, it does.
How? I mean, let's just for a minute just take a moment out to say to those people that are having to make those decisions, I don't envy you at all.
No.
Because I think you've got a really tough job to make those decisions. And what do we do? All we do is we have a bit of a go at them. We say, blooming council, don't we?
Yeah, get rid of them. Yeah, look at the money we'd save on their wages. It's so not true.
Down to the bare bones now. Mm. Down to the bare bones. And you just think, how sad is that? Who'd want a job where you've got to make those kind of crummy decisions?
But even worse than that is who would put themselves forward 3 years ago to be put in the position they're put in now.
Well, another really, really good point to make. And you know, without going into social media and things like that, that aside, what a tough job if you are one of those councillors, and I'm sure there are many of them, that really all they wanted to do was get voted in and do some good.
And do some good for their community.
And they can't because their hands are tied.
And they are an awful lot of them. It has to be said, and I need the listeners to know, an awful lot of those county councillors at County Hall are also town and parish councillors that do it voluntary for nothing.
And they're all across the spectrum.
So it's not all about the money. It's not about the money at all.
Okay, David Motkin says perhaps they could do better, that the crowd we have now, but only if they were a political administrators. Melissa says it's a scary thought. Jean then says we need to look to the EU for grants and Ireland status. I've just been on there. We can also start opening cooperatives and buy local produce to keep our own economy going. There is loads of money. Hang on, there is loads of money. A few clever people could fill these forms in. We can get money for absolutely everything. We have to think outside the box now and look after ourselves, unless we want everything sold off privately. Speaking to a councillor, they are actually looking into this and have experts that they are talking to about EU, which I think is great and well done them. But we did the thing, I jokingly said I organised a march into London with another councillor, you know him as Harry Rees, and we did this back in the year 2000, and we took three Southern Vectis buses, marched into London, drove into London with these buses, and we handed over 21,000 signatures, and we were asking to be taken into consideration to be statistically free of Hampshire. Because when you lump in all the figures and, you know, we're part of Hampshire, we lose out. But if we were independent of Hampshire when it comes up to divvying up the funds, we would be so much better off. That was in 2000. Here we are 16 years down the line. Nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change in that respect. Unless we may have to stand up and shout and make a noise, because that's the only way you're going to get anything done. The sad thing is, at the moment, I think, is that the people of the Isle of Wight, too many of them, are quiet, and they've been beaten back so much that they're beaten into submission and they've given up. And that's a sad thing, because there must be.
Do you think that's really the case?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Do you know what I really, you know, now I will talk about social media, and I think social media is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I really do. But if we didn't have it now, people would want to vent their anger. And all they are able to do now is vent their anger on Facebook.
Mm.
They moan, they groan about this. And that makes them feel better, because as long as they've had a moan and a groan, nothing's happened, nothing's changed. But as long as they've had a moan and a groan, come on, you must have. If there's been someone you've been cross with, Curly Sue, you've been cross with, and you've had a go at, you know, they've upset you, so you've had a go them. Makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Depends.
Regardless, at the end of the day, something, you know, you've had your say, and that's all that matters. You've had your say. I've marked your card, and that's it.
Yep.
Something that the future may not change. The relationship with you and that person may not change. You may not get what you want, but because you've said what you wanted to say, that makes you feel better, and then you back off, and that's what's happened.
So maybe all those people that are venting their anger or saying whatever they're saying on Facebook and all should actually take a minute once a month to go to their local town and parish council meetings and see what it's like. See how things are.
Maybe. I don't think that will ever happen. The thought, I've got to be honest with you, you love it, you like it. And let me tell you here and now, you had a bit of a blip towards the end of last year, but I look at you and I think you are the perfect person to be a counsellor, because you've got heart, you've got honesty, and you want to make a difference.
I do want to make a difference, and I don't understand why everyone doesn't want that.
Because they don't, they really don't. But just going back, let me just finish off with the Facebook thing. Once, you know, when you look at that and you follow it on, now people might think that I'm a little bit mad or a little bit cynical. Yes, I am a little bit mad, and I am a little bit cynical too. I hold my hands up. I think you've got to be mad to live in this world. But I do believe that Facebook was probably invented so that you can have a moan and a groan and feel better at yourself, about yourself, so you then don't take it any further. It's done. You can have a moan and a groan, and that's it. It's done and dusted. 15, 16 years ago, we may have got on a bus and we may have marched into London and said, there you go, Tony Blair, have a listen to that, 23,000 signatures, now get your finger out, we want to be statistic. No, none of that. We wouldn't do that now. We'd go on Facebook and we'd sign a petition or something like that, but it wouldn't actually go anywhere.
See, that's just a mindset though, isn't it?
It is a mindset.
You know, and people complain and people moan. What is the point in complaining unless you're actually prepared to do something about it? Seriously.
Follow it through.
Yeah.
Follow it through.
Yeah, you do.
Does that? Am I being an idiot here? Do you actually believe what I'm saying? When I say about the Facebook thing?
Kind of. No, because...
Because let's put it another way then. Let's put it another way. A few months ago, there was that Unite the White in Newport.
Yeah.
Unite the White, and this was all to do with...
This was all cutbacks and austerity by the government.
Austerity and cutbacks, okay. They organised a march into Newport.
Yeah, a rally in Newport.
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
How many people turned up?
60 to 70
people.
From the whole population of the Isle of Wight.
Unite the White with 60 to 70 people.
How that ain't going to happen, is it?
It's not going to happen, because I tell you for why. People are on their Facebook pages venting their anger, venting their spleen, and it's going on deaf ears. It's falling on deaf ears. These facts and figures that Vic Slouthian put in there yesterday, they're very interesting, okay? And people are having an interesting conversation. It's gone on deaf ears. Nothing will happen.
So what is it going to take to make people sit up and listen and do something?
I said earlier on, and you said it would be a sad state of affairs. It probably will happen at some point unless somebody backs down. Somebody backs down that is in a high up position and says, do you know what? We haven't given you the correct amount of money. There you go. There's the amount that you need now to go and make your council work. Otherwise, it's a case of shutting the doors, handing over the keys, and saying, look, you run it. You run it with what you've got. because we can't do it with what we've got. That'd be a sad day, don't get me wrong. That'd be a sad day, but that's where we're coming to. And I'm sorry, folks, but that's the reality of it, isn't it? We could sit here and you know, cheer you up with lots of stuff. I don't think it's as bad as that. Let's be honest, because I think there's money somewhere. They just don't want to give it to you.
I think we're getting that way.
Should we take a call?
Yeah, take a call.
Okay. Hi, who's this?
Afternoon, me old muncher.
It's me old mate, look, Uncle Arthur.
Uncle Arthur.
If you want people to do things, there's only one word, and the word is trust.
Hmm.
If you don't trust the people, you aren't going to bother, are you?
Is that honestly what you think, Arthur?
Definitely.
Okay.
When you look around, not just the Isle of Wight, if you look around the country, right, you look at what's been going on in the last few months in the country, you look at all the people that are coming out with their nice clean Wellington boots on and saying everything, could you put your hand on your heart and you say you trust them to do anything about it?
No.
No. And it doesn't matter whether it's the Prime Minister of the country or the leader of the Isle of Wight Council or your local councillor, it's all got to come down to trust. If you think the person is doing a job for you and you trust them, then you might get up and do something about it. But if you don't, you're not going to.
See, Arthur, maybe I'm still a little bit naive. I got elected coming up 3 years ago. I stood because I shouted against something that I didn't like. Luckily for me, a lot of people shouted behind me. I still walk through the village and think, do you know what? People voted me on to the parish council to look after this.
Yeah.
And I feel absolutely humbled by it.
But that's the way it should be.
So why doesn't everyone feel like that, Arthur?
But if you're visible and people know who you are... Now, our councillor that we got for up here... it's a new bloke now, he's only been in it a couple of years. But the one before had been in it for quite some time. And Ian had her in there a few times talking to her, the lady with the blonde hair, Dawn.
Yeah? Dawn Cousins?
Well, in all the years I'd lived here, which is not that long, but it's long enough, I'd never physically met her.
Right.
Now, pardon me if I'm wrong with all these things, but when people go out campaigning, they normally knock on doors, and you know, the guy who we got here now has been and knocked on my door a couple of times. He's answered a couple of emails from me. He possibly hasn't agreed with everything I've said, but he's answered them. But you know, there seems to have been, over the years on the Isle of Wight, a bit of a tendency for things to have carried on the way they'd always carried on. And I would point that finger directly at the council as well. I would like to think that as people have retired or gone or whatever they've done, the people that have come in and followed them up have got a slightly different way of looking at stuff and are more interested in going out and speaking to the people rather than just presuming they're always going to get their vote.
Yeah, because if you don't speak to people, Arthur, how can you know anything?
Well, exactly. I mean, we as an animal, we trust each other because we speak to people. People listen to what we say. We look at their faces. Don't look at a piece of plastic stuck in front of them or even a piece of rag put over their face. We look at their face. If their face looks trustworthy, you're half the battle is there. If you then can put a few deeds in with it, you've got people that will go to war for you. But if you don't engage with the people, how are they ever going to trust you?
They're not, are they?
And that's what it comes down to, is trust.
You're always sounding like an MP.
Well, you see, considering my track record of being anti most people who are in politics, I have always found our MP quite a reasonable guy. Because when I've had problems, he's walked up here and sat in my blinking back room and had a cup of tea with his dog, and he's actually spoken to me. Now, you wouldn't get that from David Cameron, would you?
No, and actions like that just...
You know,
well,
I mean, regardless of... I don't regard him as being a Conservative, a Liberal, National Front, or even Red Flag.
He's just your MP.
I regard him as being the island's MP.
Yeah. Which is how it should be, isn't it?
Well, but that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
If you got... You know, I'm not saying the guy would be right with everything he does, says, or even thinks about, but the point is, if he makes an attempt at trying to, you know, assuage you if you've got a problem, then you've got a part of the battle won. But But the one thing the general public have become very, very wise to over the last 20 years, let alone the last 5 and 10, when people stand on the television or put in the paper, you can spy waffle a mile away. You can see it, you can smell it, you can even almost taste it. And you see these people out there, they're singing a blinking tune, which everybody knows is the same tune, all up and down the country, meaningless.
And that's what I'm saying, Arthur. Up until 2013, I was exactly the same as you.
Well,
and I thought,
go.
Actually,
I'll put
myself forward to do something.
Well, I am hoping that you are part of the new breed that's coming in, that's actually... I mean, we talk about County Hall. Does that building need to be that big?
No.
So we're talking about a building that's populated by a lot of people that probably has a lot of empty rooms?
Or I don't know.
Should have.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you said earlier about, you know, houses and house building and stuff like that. There's quite a few major developments in the pipeline over here, aren't there?
Mm.
Who are they for?
Private housing, isn't it?
But are there that many people homeless on the street over here?
No, there's not.
Are there that many people in bed and breakfast over here?
No.
So who are they for? I'm not perpetuating the old tired chestnut of people coming over from Birmingham and all that sort of thing. That's not what I'm saying. But if the council gives permission for loads of house building, surely someone somewhere along the line would have to say to the people who don't want the houses built right on their doorstep or in front of them what the reason is, and who they're for, and what the infrastructure is going to have to be altered to accommodate them. Yeah?
Yeah.
If you don't get that, you ain't got no trust.
Trust. That's what I'm liking that.
And you'll view it with a crooked eye evermore. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do. I do see it. I think you should become an MP.
Tell you what, seriously speaking, the first thing our MP should have done should have been down there and made this damn council sort out that Thundercliff Drive.
Yeah.
And the people who got it into that state should have been taken to blinking court and had their bumps felt for it. Because a lot of money's been wasted down there, and the people who live down there have had nothing back for it.
There's an awful lot of money been wasted in so many different places. And
ride interchange.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was an awful lot there.
So when somebody comes around,
Cowes Enterprise College,
you're going to have to find yourself all the way back home for a public toilet because we've got to close it to save a few bob. You can kind of sort of forgive the people for thinking, I don't trust you, they're weasel words.
But in the grand scheme of things, Arthur, toilets are the least of their concerns.
Toilets are a big concern if you are a tourism-based economy.
And I think everybody sees that, but money-wise, there isn't the money to do it.
What does it cost to maintain a toilet?
I don't know. I don't know the figures. I know a few of the town and parish councils have taken over a couple, haven't they?
All right. So if you've got some unemployed people, give them a job on minimum wage once a week or once a day, whatever, to go and wash them out and sweep them out. Get rid of the mayoral car. That'll pay for some of them, wouldn't it?
I think that's gone, hasn't it?
Is it?
I think that's gone.
Yeah, I think that's gone because one of the councillors wanted to bring it back, didn't he?
We were talking about
strange
stuff
enough.
Like that. Yeah,
a couple of months ago, a big meeting wasn't there, and he wanted to bring it back.
Well, there you go.
That says it all, doesn't it?
the thing is, you've got to look at it, and if you want to maximise your revenue, you've got to find the ways that get the people to pay for things. You've got to get people who are visiting to pay money to come, want to come here.
Mm.
And at the moment, it just looks like it's another place that's trying to... You know, we appear on the mainland like we're sitting here with our hands out. Come over here, we want to take your money off you.
Begging bowl mentality.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, people from the mainland think, well, I ain't going to go over there, it's going to cost me a fortune. Can't even have a lash if I want one.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, look, Arthur... It's been a pleasure.
Has it?
Yeah.
I'm going to go and slip my wrists down.
No, don't.
Do that.
Look, I sincerely hope that the young lady there does well. Because I'm hoping that she is part of the new broom that is going to sweep clean. Because eventually the dinosaurs will die out.
Yeah, no, there's a great quote. All eventually right? The dinosaurs will die
Don't
out.
Look at me when you say that. Arthur, he's looking at me.
Thanks for being there, Arthur.
Bye, Arthur.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye.
It's 12 minutes to one. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with more.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240. This is Vectis Radio.
Fretbuzz.net is the place to go for all the latest music reviews, photos and much more. Covering island bands to establish acts from across the globe, the guys at Fretbuzz will give their unique view on the music world. As well as music reviews from Fretbuzz, they now offer bands and musicians a range of promotional services from photo shoots, video show reels to advertising and pictures on the site. Fretbuzz caters for all budgets and requirements. Just call them on 07576 138337 today for more information. So whatever you're looking for, visit fret-buzz.net for all your music needs, or find them on Facebook by searching Fretbuzz Music Reviews.
The White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cowes to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
Beds of Ride, in-town parking in Union Street. Come and give your bedroom an overhaul and treat. No need for sales gimmicks, just value for your pound. With realistic prices all the year round. Includes free delivery if you live in Ryde, and only £10 elsewhere island-wide. Open 10:30 till late, 6 days a week, all that is needed to help you sleep. Beds of Ryde, call 565 151. Also find us on Facebook.
Key Art is one of 13 organisations awarded funding by the Isle of Wight Council to deliver youth provisions. Key Arts is in partnership with Vectis Radio and is offering young people aged 11 to 19 years, up to 25 years with additional needs, a wide variety of creative art activities, as well as the opportunity to learn about radio.
This has been a four-piece production sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
It's June 1944. 7,000 ships are masted off the western end of the Isle of Wight, heading for the D-Day landings. But did you know about the disastrous rehearsals for D-Day at Slapton Sands on the Devon coast just 5 weeks before? Don't miss reading The Kid on Slapton Beach. Find out more at www.whitediamondpress.com or buy it at your favourite bookshop now. The Kid on Slapton Beach.
The Dotty Imaging Company is a new business on the beautiful Isle of Wight. Specialising in creativity from graphic design for print to hand-produced paintings and drawings. Looking for inspiration for that special gift? Something unique? Then the Dotty Imaging Company is your solution. Using the traditional techniques of fine dots, I can produce beautiful pen and ink artwork that can be personalised for family and pet portraits. Order now your unique island gifts or purchase a portrait voucher to give to that special someone or even treat yourself. Google the Dotty Imaging Company, find me on Facebook or call 07 443 506 213. The Dotty Imaging Company, where creativity starts with the dot.
The 4Ps project is for 11 to 19 year olds and up to 25 years with additional needs. Presenting, producing, promoting and podcasting. Check out www.4ps.org.uk. Sponsored by CLC, the Care Learning Centre.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Now, we were talking this lunchtime about the £17.38 million that is a deficit within our council.
3.9 now.
3.9. It's gone up in the last hour. And there was a breakdown that said even if they just did services that they had to do, the cost would outweigh what they're actually getting from the government. Okay, that's been proven now. So you look at that and think, well, you're doomed, aren't you? Okay, now out of every negative, you should try and find a positive. You have come up with a wonderful idea and as a bit of a solution that will help ourselves. So let's...
But it's a long-term fix. It's not a short-term. It's going to happen. It's... looking to the future.
Okay, you interrupted me.
Sorry.
Let's take that one step further, okay? What are you going to do now with that idea? Because I think your idea's got legs. And this is what we have failed to do over the last 5, 6, maybe 10 years, failed to look to the future. We haven't acknowledged the fact that there is going to be issues and problems in, a shortfall of funding. So what are you going to do about it? This idea that you've got, this is the other thing that I have a bit of a beef about with people. They moan about roads and things like that, but they never actually phone anybody to say there's a massive hole down our road. Can you come and fix it?
Tell me what to do with it then.
Well, you should put this idea down. I know writing's difficult for you.
No, it's not. But it's extremely easily.
If you put this idea down in a WordPad document, and take it to X amount of people or send it to X amount of people, then maybe, you're doing your bit. At least you're coming up with an idea and following it through. Too many people, again, do that thing. And this kind of backs me up here with I'm going to rant and rave on Facebook, but I'm not actually going to do anything about it. What was that thing you held up a couple of hours ago? It was that you held up something, you held up loads, and you said those people that moan about something...
Yeah, don't complain about anything unless you're prepared to do something about it.
That's what the motto is. That's what the motto is, and you now should take that idea, take it to whoever you've got to take it to and say, look, I want to do my bit. How can we push this forward? Because this is a great idea.
Okay.
All right? That's your homework.
Thanks.
So will you do that between now and next week?
I'm too old to have homework.
You're not. No one's ever too old to have homework.
Okay.
Are they? Talking of which, your homework for the evening is to research and come back tomorrow with some news stories, local, national, and also, what's the other little subject we've got to do? Oh, yeah, tomorrow, on the Lunchtime Social Debate tomorrow, we are going to be talking about, what's the question?
If you could bring back any musician from the dead, who would it be and why?
Okay, so that's what we're going to... It's lighter tomorrow. It's a lighter... Is this depressing for you?
Very.
Is it?
Because it's less...
Sadly, it's reality.
It is
reality. Yeah. You must have heard that, welcome to the real world, from your mum and dad, and maybe other people as well, our aunties, uncles, grandmothers and so on. And it is. It's because... And the sad thing is, this is a fact, you've got idiots that are in place, and maybe we ought to change places... Put the young in charge.
Put the kids in charge.
Because
it couldn't be any worse, could it?
Honestly, you've only got to look at footage of the big house.
Half of them asleep.
And that's those people that are making these wonderful decisions that we have to live by. Again, I apologise for all of those people. On their behalf for messing it up for the likes of yourself, because we haven't done a brilliant job, but maybe one day they'll put it right. You never know. Anyway, look, thank you for being there. I'll leave you with that thought. Thank you for being there, Prickles.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, and thank you for being there.
Thanks.
Kate Partington, otherwise known as Curly Sue. Speak to you tomorrow.